Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you. We are in Matthew chapter 12 tonight, and we are continuing. If you notice this morning, what did I preach on this morning, if you were here? It was the Holy Spirit. Did y'all catch that? I mean, the Holy Spirit was in all three of those outline points. And so tonight, we're going to continue with sermons on the Holy Spirit. I meant to mention this. I should have done that. Thursday night, in speaking of bringing people together, our ladies are feeding pastors' wives Thursday night. And so they can fast during the day and eat good that night. So, I'm grateful for the ladies doing that. And that's going to be a good night. How many ladies are coming? Do y'all know? 10 and 15, okay. If you'd invited their husbands, you'd have probably got a lot more. They like to eat, you know. So, that's going to be a wonderful evening. And I'm the first lady at Second Mile will be here. So, that's you, huh? So, she's sitting there thinking, who is that? Anyways, if you have your Bible tonight, we're going to talk about there's a sin that a person can commit and never be forgiven of that sin. Now that's a heavy, heavy topic. It's called the unpardonable sin. There's a time, and I don't know when that time is. There's a place. And I don't know where that place is, but it marks the destiny of a man or a woman. And it's the hidden boundary line that marks God's wrath. What is the unpardonable sin? I have had all kinds of answers to that question. What is the unpardonable sin? I used to do a lot of preaching and Bible teaching down at the prison down in Clifton, Tennessee. Over 400 inmates down there, and I heard from time to time, you know, child molestation. And can you think of anything worse than taking advantage of a child and abusing that child sexually and emotionally and mentally? But I want to tell you, God will forgive the child molester. There's room at the cross for the child molester. And we don't like to think about that sometimes. And you say, what about murder? What about mass murderers? Who was the guy a few years ago that had killed 30-something people? What was his last name? Casey? John Wayne Casey. And I want to tell you, there's room at the cross for John Wayne Casey if he'll come to Christ. And adultery, incest, sodomy, drunkenness. And here's the one that a lot of church folks think is the unpardonable sin, suicide. I heard a preacher this week say, if a person takes their own life, they're going to go to hell because you're basically telling God that you made a mistake in creating them. What is the unpardonable sin? And by the way, all these sins that I've mentioned are moral sins. And 1 John 1:9 says, the blood of Jesus cleanses from any and all moral sins. And the Bible says, though our sins be as scarlet, they can be white as snow. And so we're back to the question, what is the unpardonable sin? And we find our answer to this question, amazingly, in a meeting that Jesus was in, a healing meeting that Jesus was in, and the Pharisees were there. Now, y'all know I have always noticed something about the Pharisees. They're always on the front row. In the Bible. I'm not talking about in here. Okay? They're always on the front row. Because they're right there on the front row every time Jesus is healing, preaching, or teaching. They're sitting there on the front row and they've got one thing in mind. You know what that is? They want to bring a charge against the Lord so they can kill Him. That's why they're always in the front row. Y'all are not the Pharisees, okay? But anyways. And so let's look at the unpardonable sin. Just what is it? Well, I'm glad you asked. Look at Matthew chapter 12. And let me just read verses 31 and 32 for us, okay? And then we'll back up and cover this whole text. But Matthew 12, 31. Therefore, I say to you. Now these are the, and you know, I kind of feel uneasy every time I say this, but the red letters are what? But you need to know every word of God is inspired by Him. It's all spoken by Jesus. But for somehow or other, we've got red letters and anyways. So, therefore I say to you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven men. Somebody shout amen. But the blasphemy against the Spirit, capital S, will not be forgiven men. That's singular, blasphemy against. So that is a sin that someone can commit that they will never be forgiven of. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man. Now who is the Son of Man? Jesus. That's right. That was His favorite nickname for Himself. Okay? It will be forgiven him. But whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven him, either in this age or in the age to come. How many of y'all have heard the great sermon by one of our greatest evangelists in the 20th century, J. Harold Smith, God's Three Deadlines? Dwight? I stand confirmed, we need to get out more. That is one of the most famous Southern Baptist sermons from an evangelist that we have. Google it. Go home and listen to it. I'm not going to go quite as far as J. Harold Smith does with the unpardonable sin. But where I'm going to wind up may surprise you. So y'all listen up tonight. First thing I need to say about this text is that the unpardonable sin, first of all, is a sin against revelation. Not the book of Revelation, but knowledge and the revelation of God. It's a sin against revelation. So Jesus had just done something that the Pharisees could not do. Look at verse 22 in Matthew 12. Then one was brought to him who was demon-possessed. Now, saved people cannot be demon-possessed. They can be demon-oppressed, but not demon-possessed. Are y'all with me? All right, blind and mute. So he couldn't see and he couldn't speak. That's the issue there. And he, Jesus, healed him so that the blind and mute man both spoke and saw. What a healer Jesus is. Whew. And all the multitudes were amazed and said, could this be the Son of David? Now, when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow does not cast out demons except by Beelzebub, the ruler of the demons. Jesus had just healed a blind and mute man, a blind and deaf man, someone who couldn't see and speak, and the Pharisees saw it happen. And so they couldn't refute the miracle. I mean, they knew that Jesus had just healed this man because what did the man get up and do? Well, he saw and he spoke. Healed immediately, instantly. Aren't you thankful that Jesus can heal at the touch of His hand? Anytime He gets ready, God can heal. I've been praying, you know, for my buddy Austin Rice. Coach Rice's son up in, I'm praying that God will heal him and touch him. God can do that when he gets ready to. And so Jesus had healed this man, and no one could deny the healing had taken place. And so they couldn't refute that the healing had taken place. And so they began to question the source that the healing came from, where this healing power came from. And you know what they said? The Pharisees said, he did it in the power of the devil. He did it in the power of the devil. And now in verse 28, look what this says. But if I cast out, Jesus said, but if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. In other words, Jesus is telling him, I just cast this demon-possessed man, I just healed him by the what? By the who? By the Spirit of Almighty God. The Holy Spirit's at work here. And so, now, do y'all know who Beelzebub was? That's who the Pharisees said was the source of this healing power. Let me tell you about Beelzebub. He was the Phoenician people's god of filth. The name literally reads the Lord of Flies. Now, back in the day, the Phoenicians and everybody else had questions about the origin of life. And what they had come up with was they noticed whenever someone or something died, what always showed up around a dead body? Flies. That's exactly correct. And so these flies would come and show up. And then what was the... Now, I don't want to make anybody sick in here tonight, but when you see flies, eventually you're going to have these little white worms called maggots, that's right, and worms, and they would appear in the flesh as it rots away. And so they thought that life actually came from rotten, dead, filthy things. And the Phoenicians had made a god of this filth and a god of these flies and rottenness and stench. And so to a Jew, this would have been the ultimate sign of depravity and disrespect. And so what, you understand what the Pharisees are saying now? I mean, here's what they're saying. I've written this in my own words. Yes, he healed him, but he did it by the power of a pagan, filthy demon named Beelzebub. Jesus was driving out demons by the power of the devil. They were basically saying Jesus was demon-possessed. Now, the Pharisees are on very dangerous ground right here. They were close to the state of no return if they hadn't already crossed the state of no return. They were on the borderline of committing the unpardonable sin. The Holy Spirit had already convicted these men that Jesus was the Christ. They knew that Jesus was the Christ. I mean, he had proven that to them over and over. They knew who he was, but you see, they didn't want him. They knew who he was, but these men refused God's revelation. They sinned against the light that God had revealed to them. Folks, I've just come here tonight to tell you, the worst sin doesn't take place in a bar. The worst sin tonight doesn't take place in a house of ill repute. The worst sin doesn't take place in a crack house. The worst sin is often committed in the very house of God. Oftentimes it takes place right here. And so, you know, to see the truth, to know the truth, and yet refuse to receive the truth, that is an awful, awful sin. And so there are millions of people today that are sitting in darkness, and yet if they heard the gospel, many of them would begin jumping for joy. That's why you see all these thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people in South America and Russia and China and Indonesia and India. You see all these pagans coming to faith in Christ. And some of us are so excited about Jesus on Sunday mornings in the American church, we fall asleep. The Holy Spirit had given these men the revelation that Jesus was the Son of God and that he had come to save them. And the Pharisees are trying to explain away their visitation of grace. The unpardonable sin, first of all, is a sin against the light, against the revelation that God has given you of His Spirit and His Son. And so secondly, we need to get deeper though than that. The unpardonable sin is not only a sin against revelation, it's a sin against reason. And look at verse 25. But Jesus knew their thoughts. I could just about preach another sermon right here. Jesus knows exactly what you're thinking about. Every time you have a thought pass through your mind, Jesus knows about it. What's that old song? Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly. No, not one. I love the old stuff. Y'all can tell that. But anyways, so let me come back to my thing. The unpardonable sin is a sin against reason. Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, listen to this now. Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. And every city or house divided against itself will not stand. Now, would y'all say amen to that? That's just practical reason, isn't it? If Satan casts out Satan, he's divided against himself. How then will his kingdom stand? And if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore, they shall be your judges. But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. Or how can one enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man? Who's Jesus talking about here? Satan. He's talking about the evil one. And then he will plunder his house. And then Jesus said, if you still don't get it, he who is not with me is against me. And he who does not gather with me scatters abroad. Jesus is basically saying, you have rejected God's revelation. You've rejected all reason. You've rejected your own logic. How can a house be divided against itself? If Satan were to cast out his own demonic helpers, he would be opposing himself. Would he not? Would Satan do this? No, it doesn't even make sense what they had just said. The unpardonable sin is a sin against reason. There's something about sin that short circuits the brain. Amen? There is something about sin that really does just make you dumb sometimes. And that's what we've got here. There's no logical... Can you come up with a logical reason for rejecting Christ as the Son of God, as the Lord of the universe? You can't come up with anything logical. I mean, it's almost... If you wind up in hell, in this country, if you wind up in hell in Clarksville or from Clarksville, that's almost dumb. I mean, why? Do you realize what all you got to do to wind up in hell from Clarksville? You've got to step over every single gospel sermon you've ever heard. You've got to step over every single gospel witness that you've ever heard. Every gospel song that you've ever heard. Every Bible that you've come across. I mean, it's an amazing thing when you stop and think about it, how people wind up in hell from Clarksville. Yeah, I mean, you've got to step over all this stuff, and then the worst thing that you've got to get over and around is the cross. And so here you've got a sin against reason. Now, let me just chase this rabbit for a second. Billy, how many times have you heard somebody say, well, I'd come to church if it wasn't for all the hypocrites? I have heard that so many times, I'm tired of hearing it. And you know what? When somebody tells me that, I take offense at it, because y'all are my brothers and sisters. We're the saints of God. We're the second milers. We're going the second mile. And when somebody tells me that, I just tell them, well, come on down with us. One more ain't going to hurt us. I probably shouldn't say that, but and one of the 12 was a hypocrite. Did the other 11 quit? No. I bought a hypocritical egg this week, but I didn't throw the other 11 away. Hello? Y'all understand where I'm coming from? All right. Kevin, now, you're one of the finest, most upstanding, sharp, great lawyers that I've ever met. But there are a few shady lawyers. This is the time to promote Kennedy Law Firm, amen? And so, but I want to tell you what, if you need legal advice, who are you going to go to? A lawyer. Hopefully you go to Kevin. There are a lot of greedy doctors out there, amen? They're in it for this. But when you get sick, you go to Dr. Jesus first, and then where do you go? You go see the doctor. Jesus was able to drive out demons because he dominated the devil. He wasn't in collusion with the devil. He was in a collision with the devil. He defeated Satan, entered his kingdom, and overcame his power, whipped death, hell, and the grave. And you're going to give me some lame excuse, oh, I'd come to church if it weren't for all the hypocrites? I like what Jesus said in verse 30. Did y'all catch that? He who is not with me is against me. And he who does not gather with me scatters. The Pharisees had sinned against the revelation that God had given them about Jesus. And then they had sinned against all reason. It didn't even make sense of what they were saying. Why in the world would they have said that? Well, that gets us a little bit closer to what I believe the unpardonable sin is. Let's look again at verses 31 and 32. And I want you to read these again with an open mind and an open heart. The unpardonable sin is a sin against redemption. Therefore, I say to you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven men. But the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven men. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, against me, against Jesus, he says, it will be forgiven him. But whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven him, either in this age or in the age to come. Now, Jesus was giving these men a warning. They're very close, if they hadn't already committed the unpardonable sin. Their very words that they had already spoken gave evidence that they hated Jesus. You see, the sin against the Holy Spirit is not so much a matter of slanderous speech as it is a matter of the heart. The word blaspheme means to revile, to reject, to speak harmfully against someone. You know, you can speak against God without even using any words. You know that, right? So the unpardonable sin has to do with your heart. Words can be in your heart and your head just like in your mouth. And God hears every one of them. Blaspheming the Holy Spirit is saying no to the Holy Spirit when the Holy Spirit has already given you evidence and revelation of who Jesus is and that you need Him as your Lord and your Savior. Now, this is not the unpardonable. There are times, I meant to tell this story this morning. I'll tell it tonight. There was a fella in Waynesboro. His name was Gene Seitz. And he's probably 73 or 4. And he showed up at the revival I was in 2 weeks ago down at this little country church. And I made the statement in the sermon that night, will there be anyone in heaven that walks up to you and says, I just want to say thank you because of your witness to me, I'm here in heaven? Is there going to be anybody that walks up to you in heaven and says, thank you for sharing Jesus with me? I'm here because you shared the Lord with me. Well, Gene's got a cane now, and he's getting old and decrepit, and he's got Parkinson's, and he's just got all kinds of physical trouble. But he walked all the way to the back of the church with that cane. And he said, I don't have to wait to get to heaven to thank somebody for sharing Jesus with me. And he teared up and started crying. I witnessed to Gene many times when we were in Waynesboro. Gene was a bail bondsman. And he was so filthy mouthed and so rough around the edges. He used to work for the police department, but they had to give him a pink slip. And it was just one thing. And every time I saw Gene, I'd been to his house before, and he would, I mean, the first time I showed up at his house, he ran me out of his driveway. But I didn't give up on him. And every time I ran into him, I would hear the thing about the hypocrites, and I would hear all these excuses and stuff from him. And and I even had our own people at our church telling me, Brother Cal, you're wasting your time. You're wasting your time. He's going to continue to reject Christ. Well, guess what happened? Gene decided to show up to church one day. And he started coming every Sunday. And after he'd been there about a month, he had his wife with him. And at the invitation time, he got up out of his seat and he came over and he grabbed me and he was crying crocodile tears. And he said, Pastor, would you pray with me? And I want to tell you, we knelt down there at the altar and soaked it with tears. And I heard him pray to receive Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. And the next Saturday, he's up on the town square handing out gospel tracts. He got a good dose of Jesus. And then his wife plays the piano like Liberace, and she became our pianist, Francelle. I won't tell you, he had rejected Christ over and over and over and over and over again. See, that's not really the unpardonable sin. No, it's a serious matter to reject Jesus. All right? But did you catch it? He says, every sin will be forgiven except the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it'll be forgiven him. But whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven him either in this age or in the age to come. Why does the Bible say that any word spoken against Jesus can be forgiven, and yet if you speak harmful, hateful words against the Holy Spirit, remember the words, blasphemy means to revile, to reject, to speak hurtfully. How come the words against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven? Is the Holy Spirit more important than Jesus? Well, I'm asking some good questions tonight. No, the Holy Spirit's not more important than Jesus. But do you remember what the responsibility and the function of the Holy Spirit is? Do you remember why he was sent here? I'm glad you asked. Turn to John chapter 15 real quick. Excuse me, John 16. John 16, verse 8. And when he has come, Jesus is talking about the Holy Spirit, what will he do? He will convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. What's the responsibility of the Holy Spirit? To convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And so when someone speaks willfully, maliciously, intentionally, after having already received the revelation that Jesus is the Christ by the Holy Spirit, they have just committed the unpardonable sin. In other words, their heart has grown so hard already that there's no hope of him ever being saved. I mean, the Holy Spirit, y'all, is God's ambassador. He was sent to reveal our need for Christ and how he can help us understand and give us the strength to respond to the gospel. The Lord Jesus was sent to redeem us. The Holy Spirit was sent to convict us. And if you're going to reject the ministry of the Holy Spirit, where else are you going to go? Are y'all with me so far? One person? The Holy Spirit was sent to convict us. Brothers and sisters, you can't be saved anytime you want to. I get saved right before I die. I've had people tell me, I'm going to live my life any old way I want to. I'm going to do this, 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 and this. And then when it gets down to the end of my life, I'll say yes to Jesus. Wrong. When the Holy Spirit's moving and working and convicting, right then is the time to be saved. Right then is the time to receive Christ Jesus. And so God draws us with His Holy Spirit. A man may be ignorant of Jesus, but when the Holy Spirit convicts a man that the Bible is true and Jesus is the Son of God, and that man rejects the Holy Spirit and then speaks against the Holy Spirit hurtfully and maliciously and intentionally, brothers and sisters, he's sinned against God's revelation, God's reason, and God's redemption. Every sin will be forgiven except that sin of rejecting and maliciously speaking against the Holy Spirit. What else is God going to do? He has no further witness to that soul. The Holy Spirit is God's messenger, the one who bears witness to Christ. The Pharisees had rejected all evidence that God had given them regarding Jesus. And if they now reject the Spirit who's working in Jesus, who just healed this man, where are they going to go? They'd sealed their own fate. You see, their hearts had gotten so hard at this point, there's no hope. And I have met a few people, and the Holy Spirit has withdrawn from them. And their hearts are... Can you think of anybody in the Bible that got like that? How about the big dog down in Egypt? Pharaoh. There comes a point when the Holy Spirit backs away. And, you know, I think, you know, those of you, I used to love dying our fireplace. We threw the gas logs out, got rid of them, and had us a real fireplace. And what there was one thing I learned about, you need to have good wood for a fireplace. But the first time you set a log on fire, it burns hot and bright. But the second time you set that log on fire, it doesn't burn quite as hot and bright. And you eventually get to the point where that log won't burn at all. And that's exactly the way it is with people who've committed the unpardonable sin. I don't know when it happens. I don't know where it happens. But the Holy Spirit gets so insulted that he ceases to work in that person's heart any longer. And, you know, I think some of you are probably here tonight, and if you're asking yourself the question, have I committed the unpardonable sin? That's evidence that you have not. A saved person cannot commit the unpardonable sin. I've ran into people who, you know, went through a season of prodigal living. And it just, man, it just, it drags them down. And they think, you know, is God going to hold this against me? I lived like the devil for 6 months, a year, 2 years. Now, I don't think you can run from God for 40 years and be saved. But you can run from God for several years. I'm the poster child for that. But it got down to the end of time there, and man, I couldn't even pray. I tried praying, and I couldn't pray. I was so guilt-ridden and so ashamed and so embarrassed, I couldn't even pray and talk to the Lord. And that right there was evidence that I was a child of God. Because see, you can't sin against the Lord if He's in here and there not be friction and problems. I've had people tell me they got so mad at God that they said something very hateful and emotional. In an emotional fit, they got angry with God about a loved one had died or something like that. Can I just tell you, that's not the unpardonable sin. But that's what I believe the unpardonable sin is. It's intentional. It's malicious. It's hateful. And it's giving credit to the work and the ministry of the Holy Spirit to Satan. And when you get to that point, your heart has grown so hard, there's no chance in you ever being saved. And if you're here tonight and you're not absolutely sure, I don't want to scare you, because I don't believe in trying to scare people to Jesus. I do believe in just presenting people the truth. But if the Holy Spirit's moving in your spirit right now, and He's ministering to you, and He's drawing you, and He's wooing you, and He's convicting you, friend, tonight's the night you probably ought to pray to receive Christ and be saved. I've seen pastors, I've seen deacons, I've seen Sunday school teachers, I've seen church leadership. Billy Graham said this one time, 35 years ago, he believes that only 20% of the church is saved. You know why he says that? Because it's the 20% who do 80% of the work, give 80% of the money, the 20-80 thing. I don't know if he's right or not, but I can tell you this. Every church has a house full on their roll of people who've never been changed by the power of Almighty God. Now, it's already 7 o'clock. I wanted to give y'all some... if you're a believer, man, you get tore up when you sin. Okay? If you're a believer, you get tore up when you sin because the Spirit of God's in you. Number two, this is all in the book of 1 John. If you're a believer, you've got a love for God's Word. Do you know why that is? Because you want to obey God's commandments. And in order for you to obey God's commandments, you got to know what they are. And where do you find what they are? In His Bible, okay? Number three, if you're a believer, you love God's family because you're a part of the family. 1 John chapter 3 says you can know you pass from death unto life if you love the brethren. Are y'all with me so far? And then number four, if you're a believer, from time to time, God's going to answer your prayers. And you're going to get answers of things that you're praying about. And number five, sometimes Romans tells us that the Spirit of God is going to give evidence to you that you are one of His children. Has your daddy or your mama or somebody that you know really does love you ever put their arm around you and hugged you and just said, "I love you"? Well, our Heavenly Father does the same thing. Ding, ding, ding. $100 to Lottie Moon. Praise God. Yes. It doubles after seven. So those are the And there's more, but those are the five big signposts, mile markers on the highway of salvation. So if you're here tonight and you can say yes to those things, a believer cannot commit the unpardonable sin. I've met some people who have, and I'm scared to death for them because they have no hope of ever being saved. I don't know a bunch of people like that. Go home and listen to J. Harold Smith's God's Three Deadlines. And he talks about the unpardonable sin. The second deadline that God has is sending away your day of grace. And that's the continual rejection of the continual rejection of Jesus. And then there's the sin that leads unto death. He covers those three. J. Harold Smith. Google it when you get home. Questions, comments? Tell you what, let's do. Jim, play a little something over here, would you? And let's just all bow our head. And let's just allow the Holy Spirit to speak to our heart. Father, make this word tonight real to our hearts. That the unpardonable sin is a willing, intentional, hateful, malicious refusal of the revelation and the reason and the offer of redemption from the Spirit of Almighty God to someone. And giving credit for the work of the Holy Spirit to the evil one. I don't know very many people that have committed that sin, but the ones that have no hope. And if there is one here tonight, oh God, save their soul this evening. Let them run to Jesus. If you're here this evening, you're not absolutely positive and sure about your salvation, would you slip your hand up in the air? Nobody's looking around. Just slip it up in the air. I want to lead you in a prayer. Anybody? Anybody? All right. Father, if there is someone here tonight and they're under conviction about things in their life, maybe a season of prodigal living, maybe an emotional, angry outburst, or maybe some other kind of big sin, I thank you that the blood of Jesus can cleanse from any and all moral sin. Thank you for the flow at Calvary's cross. Thank you for Jesus. And I pray for these brothers and these sisters tonight. Empower us to do the work of the gospel. When we leave here, we're your ambassadors. Just like the Holy Spirit is your ambassador, we're your ambassadors. We're your representatives here. So God, empower us. I thank you, Lord, for ministering and speaking to us tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.